Kevin Williams. Play action and boom! He's buried. It was Antoine Winfield. Intercepted by E.J. Henderson.
And it's Jared Allen.
And it's intercepted by Chad Greenway.
And there he goes. Percy Harvin is gone.
It's Vikings Tonight on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Your weekly connection to Minnesota Vikings football. Vikings Tonight is brought to you by U.S. Bank, Verizon, and Mall of America.
Touchdown Vikings!
Now, here's your host of Vikings Tonight, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Indeed. Welcome to Vikings Tonight on the Vikings Radio Network. Mike Wapshaw, Vikings.com, Vikings play-by-play guy Paul Allen. Happy to be joined by Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave, joining us from the Vikings Entertainment Network. Mr. Musgrave, how's the offseason going for you?
It's going pretty well. It's really picked up the last 2 weeks since we've had access to the players, so we're hitting the ground running.
Got you some tools out there with 2012 being about Christian Ponder from John Carlson through Jerome Simpson and the draft and Matt Khalil and everything. Got you some new components out there, sir.
We sure do, and as coaches, we really enjoy this time of year. It's the time of year where we can really implement the teaching component of being a coach and help players develop both young and old.
Hey, Coach, you got Matt Khalil, left tackle. He's going to come in and be a starter for you right away, and when we talk about left tackle, we talk about pass protection and protecting Christian Ponder, giving him time to find open receivers. But as you evaluated him, tell me about his run blocking, because that's something I think gets lost. And by the way, we have a pretty good running game.
It does get lost, Mike. You're right. And he's done a super job out there for the men of Troy at SC, paving the way for their running game. They run a very much pro-style offense and have for a long time out there. So he's been asked to not only pass protect, but also do some road grading on his own.
With the addition of Matt, what does that do? You don't have to make any decisions yet because we're a long way away from playing a game, but what does that do further down the offensive line, left guard and right guard specifically? How does the addition of Matt help you in those two spots?
Well, we're looking forward to some competition at both left guard and right guard. We know that Charlie Johnson is a candidate to slide in from left tackle, but Charlie has a lot of ability. He's just an outstanding football player, so we're glad that he's part of our offensive line. And as we've talked about, the O-line is really judged as a group. And the more times that those guys can go through games, through practices, through another training camp together, the better the end product will be.
Who battles at right guard? Fusco, the D2 guy, Berger, Schwartz, the guy you brought in from Carolina, and Chris DeGeer, maybe the wild card. We got those four there, Bill?
Those are the four, all of the above. That's correct.
It's Kentucky Derby week, man. Who's favored in that race?
Secretariat.
Okay, well then who's going to be Sham?
Who else is in Seattle Slough still?
I don't know, man. You identify Schwartz in free agency, the offensive line coach, Jeff Davidson, comfortable with Jeff Schwartz despite him missing last year. Does that mean, can you read into that? Because, Fusco and DeGeer and Berger, they were here, but Schwartz, it was not here, but the offensive line coaches work with him.
It's a good attribute to have. All three of those guys, and we've mentioned four of them as candidates for that right guard spot, have a distinct skill set and their abilities of their own. So we're excited to see how the competition shakes out.
It's Derby week, so people talk about betting. I bet Fusco wins. Do you like my take?
Not necessarily. We're not in the betting game. I wish we were, but we're not. It's going to be a free and open competition, and it'll be very evident to everyone who makes us the best offensive line, that's for sure.
Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings on Vikings Tonight throughout the Vikings Radio Network. I'm Paul Allen. Mike Wapshaw from Vikings.com joins weekly.
Hey, Coach, one more question on the offensive line, then we'll move to splashier positions that people want to hear about. But Phil Loadholt coming into a contract year, watching him back in 2009 having a really good season for us, we go to the NFC title game. I am confident that he can return to form and be a really good player. A lot of people aren't. Which side are you on, and what do you see in Phil? How do you see him bouncing back this season?
Well, Phil had a good year last year. Collectively as an offense, we didn't do as well as we wanted to, and we're looking forward on improving that. But Phil's very steady for us. We're glad he's a part of our team, and Of course, we're not all in the contract negotiation business. We're really in the coaching and the production business, but we're looking forward to Phil having another good year for us. And you're right, Mike. I think a lot of guys had good years in 2009 and started with the quarterback getting the hot hand, and we're hoping to revisit those successful times starting here in 2012.
Well, if Christian Ponder can get a hot hand this year, a couple of guys who might benefit are Jarius Wright and Greg Childs, your two new receivers we got in the fourth round. What did you see out of those guys as you evaluated them before the draft?
Well, neither of these guys are one-year wonders. They've done it over the course of their college careers. They've been well-trained in the system down there. They're both tough and they're both smart. We're looking forward to them really adding to the depth and contributing from the wide receiver core.
How do they differ with where you put them on the field and how you use them, do you think, Bill?
Well, Greg Childs is a big sucker. He'll be outside. He can gain separation vertically as well as horizontally, especially when his knee gets back to being 100%, where Jarius has the quickness to get off the line of scrimmage versus press, get some separation versus man coverage in the slot. So both of them will really bring some vitality to our offense.
With Jarius Wright, the first one you took from Arkansas, because he's rather diminutive, 5'10 and change, you know, and a lot of slot receivers are smaller guys. Are too many people pigeonholing him as strictly a slot kind of guy, insurance for Percy Harvin if Percy has to run the ball a little bit, or like DeSean Jackson and or Steve Smith, two smaller guys you can put all over the field? Is that how you think Wright should play?
We're going to have to wait and see on that, Paul, but you're right. The smaller guys who really excel outside have a tremendous amount of juice, like a Santana Moss, Steve Smith, DeSean Jackson, those guys that you've described. It remains to be seen whether Jarius Wright fits into that category or not, but he has the ability to have a chance to be a good player at this level.
To get a little hardcore on Vikings tonight, differentiate or what determines a slot receiver to an outside guy? Mm-hmm. Like what skill set do you see where you're like, okay, this guy's going to be really good closer to the line, this guy's going to be really good on the wide side?
Well, a guy that has ability to cover ground usually excels outside the numbers. He's got to have a long stride or a high frequency of stride. So when he runs off the ball, that corner out there has to be in a sweat. If he's not, it's tough for that guy to respect any type of in or out breaking route to gain separation. So you need speed. You need some dynamic ability to really threaten those corners to not only survive, but really excel outside the numbers.
Bill Musgrave, Vikings offensive coordinator, Vikings Tonight, Vikings Radio Network. Wobby?
Hey, Bill, how are you approaching the running back position this offseason? And where I'm coming from here is depth, because I'm wondering, do you look at it one way as, okay, Adrian Peterson coming back from an injury, without him, this is how we have to structure the running back position? Or is it, we expect Adrian to be back early, he's going to be back to full speed, so we're going to structure the running back position this way? How have you looked at that this offseason?
We anticipate Adrian being back. We've added some depth there, as you know, in the form of Lex Hilliard from Miami. We also have Jordan Todman, who is with the Chargers a little bit. We've got some fellas that we're looking forward to finding out what they're all about here in OTAs and also training camp. And, of course, we're counting on Adrian rehabbing like he's been doing and being available for us once the season begins.
Rick Spielman was on the flagship this morning, podcastable at KFAN.com. He's the general manager. And he was talking about your offense, and you know, he and other people, Bill, have said the way Musgrave likes to use tight ends, the way Bill likes to use tight ends. Here we are with Carlson and Rudolph for starters. How do you like to use tight ends?
Well, we like to create mismatches. As long as we've got a tight end who can get open not only versus linebackers but also safeties, we want to really feed that type of player. And that's what we did with Kyle a little bit against the Redskins, also against the Broncos. In the 2011 season. We know Kyle's got the ability to do that. John Carlson has had some good productive years up there with Seattle as well. So we're very excited about the combination of those two dynamic players.
Kyle Rudolph had that bad hamstring at Notre Dame, and it may have lingered a little more into last year than some people knew. At least that's what Kyle said on the radio last week. Do you buy it?
Well, I believe it. A significant injury like that that requires surgery usually is never exactly the way it was prior to surgery, and players have a tough time coming to grips with that. Usually it takes a season or 12 to 18 months to kind of realize, you know, I'm never going to be the same as I was, and I need to start compensating so I can still be as productive and as effective. And I think Kyle probably went through that process last year.
Have you had a chance to really figure out what you might have in Rhett Ellison, the tight end we drafted last weekend? A lot of people compare him to Jim Kleinsaucer, and I know a lot of you guys, coaches and scouts, you don't like to make comparisons. So maybe it's not fair to pigeonhole him as a Jim Kleinsaucer type of guy, but tell us what you see in Rhett Ellison.
Well, Rhett will be a tight end, as you said, Mike. He'll be a tight end that can perform fullback jobs, mm-hmm. a little bit like Jim was when he came out of college. I don't believe that Rhett will ever be as big as Jim. He won't be able to carry 270 pounds. But if he can fill those roles for us, we'll be very excited because a player that can play tight end but also do fullback jobs is invaluable.
You looking forward to this offseason compared to last offseason in that you have the guys at the facility here and the offseason program and the OTAs and all that?
We definitely are looking forward to it. We've had 2 weeks just in the meeting room with them. Start next week, we'll be able to get on the field for 3 weeks, and then the OTAs begin, which are really a preseason form of training camp. We'll enjoy that as coaches. I hope the players do as well, and we'll definitely feel more prepared as we embark on 2012.
Bill, when you your coaching and your history as a coach, what positions do you kind of gravitate toward? I know coaches like to be well-rounded coaches, and you can coach every position, but do you kind of gravitate toward one position on your offense?
I don't know that I do, Mike. We've got a terrific coaching staff, and I really enjoy working with all of our assistant coaches. They do a super job of gelling together. We have great synergy in that room when we game plan and when we prepare for a season. So we're looking forward to, again, getting back into football. And now that the draft is over, it's time to get on the field.
You ain't going to get him for the first three games, the Coastal Carolina kid. But Jerome Simpson in that 4-3, what can you do with that, Bill?
Well, Jerome is just what the doctor ordered. We need somebody outside the numbers that we just discussed that can really close the cushion and threaten a cornerback out there on an island. And Jerome has shown the ability to do that. We're excited that he's on our team.
Dalton targeted him a ton last year in Cincinnati, despite A.J. Green being an elite player. I think Simpson may have been targeted more. Now, he didn't close on them as much as A.J., but who knows the reason why. Maybe it was Dalton. Maybe it was the DBs. Maybe it was Jerome. But he didn't go without a chance last year, did he, Bill?
No, he didn't. He had 725 yards of receiving, 50 catches, 4 touchdowns. And just from first indication of being around Jerome the last week or 10 days, you can see why. He's an electric player, and once again, we're so thankful to have him.
Making plays with Bill Musgrave, Vikings offensive coordinator on Vikings Tonight. Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. Couple of quickies to close, Wabby.
With your development, working with Matt Ryan and some of the other quarterbacks, coach, that you've worked with, what are you looking for out of Christian Ponder? Are there landmarks this offseason? Is there anything tangible that you can look at and say, okay, this kid's making progress?
Well, there are, Mike, and I think the best thing for a quarterback is to get out there and make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our triumphs and we have our victories and our successes, but when you stub your toe, it remains to be seen whether a player can learn from that and avoid it the next time. And I know that Christian is looking forward to those opportunities. Not everything is going to be smooth sailing, but we're going to do our part as coaches to put him in a better situation and put our offense in the best situations possible to be successful. I know Christian's looking forward to learning from his mistakes and also building on his triumphs from 2011.
Bill, last one. Tell me if you agree with this. Christian Ponder on the radio last week talking about things on which he needs to improve. He was talking about footwork, not holding the ball too long, breaking the pocket at the wrong time, screwing up the receivers. But it all came back to teachable moments and not physical limitations. And that kind of excited me a little bit in that the laundry list we went through, it seems like for a smart guy like Christian Ponder, if he listens and if he's coached the right way and protected the right way and settles down, that you can fix these things and they're kind of easy fixes. Do you agree?
I agree, and I think we all admire Christian for taking his share of responsibility, and at times he takes more than his share. At times last year, some of the plays in which he had to flush out of there and maybe he thought he ran too fast or no one was open or he threw an interception were based on the scheme, and we didn't have the best play for him called at that time and didn't devise it the way or didn't protect it the way, didn't have the best pass protection. So we're looking forward to improving in terms of scheme and coaching just as much as Christian is as a player, and I think the combination bodes well for the Vikes.
Terrific, Bill. Look forward to seeing you for a rookie minicamp this weekend, okay?
We'll look forward to it. Thank you, man.
Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. A lot of offense there. Let's focus on the defense and how the Vikings handled the draft and what's next. With Wabby from Vikings.com, I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Tonight. on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
No off-season here. You're listening to Vikings Tonight on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings football, year-round. Now, back to Vikings Tonight.
Vikings Tonight on the Vikings Radio Network. Mike Wapshaw, Paul Allen. We thank Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator for the Vikings, for joining us. What'd you think of some things Bill had to say? I have one thing that really jumps out to me from the entire conversation. What about you?
Well, I think Bill takes a lot of pride in developing quarterbacks, not in that it's his baby and he does all of it. I think he revels in the teamwork and working with his coaches, but a lot of the coaches that were involved in Matt Ryan's development should take pride in that, because Matt Ryan was a kid that came into the NFL with a ton of hype, and a lot of times you see that happen and the guy doesn't live up to the hype, but Matt Ryan has lived up to the hype in Atlanta. Bill Musgrave was a key part of that. So, fast forward to his time here in Minnesota, you have Christian Ponder.
Matt's done a great job in the playoffs, no doubt, but anyway, go ahead.
Oh, man. Well, Christian will do a better job in the playoffs once we get there.
I certainly hope so.
And so I think that's really, Bill must be looking forward to this offseason program, OTAs, having Christian Ponder in the facility and trying to mold him.
What he said about Jerome Simpson, and I mean, I've done a lot of interviews for a long time, and you know, I know company speak. I know how they're trained to talk. I know how they're going to phrase their sentences and shape the environment. It's all good, but occasionally you get something out of them where you know it's legitimately from the heart.
Okay,
so Bill, tell me about Jerome Simpson in this 4-3. It's exactly what the doctor ordered.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's speed on the outside, and it's not just fast guy, run straight, draw safety. It's not like that. It's a fast guy who just had 700 and some odd yards and complimented A.J. Green pretty well. And, you know, I remember when Jerome Simpson was coming out of Coastal Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He played there with Tyler Thigpen, who was the 7th-round pick by the Vikings, inexplicably pilfered from the practice squad. Might be in Miami now. I'm not sure where he is. Maybe he's out of the league.
I think he's in Buffalo.
He's in Buffalo. Yep. He got a nice 2-year deal into last year to go to Buffalo to back up Ryan Fitzpatrick. So Jerome was at the top 30 dinner at Winter Park.
Okay.
So they bring in 30 people they want to wine and dine and chat with and everything. And Jerome was here. So they liked Spielman, the general manager, liked Jerome then. And really, you know, despite some off the field things, I don't think they had a lot of hesitation to get him, because he absolutely fits a need for what the Vikings need. Outside speed, free things for the running back, the tight ends,
sure.
Percy Harvin, the new shorter guy from Arkansas. All wild card in the equation is Greg Childs. That receiver from Arkansas had some moments early in his career at Arkansas before he ripped up his patella tendon.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, some of the stuff I've seen, how good he was.
Mm-hmm.
Can he be that good here? That's the question. But if he is, and if he runs through that thing, we absolutely hit on a gem.
Yeah, and Greg Childs. That could be great. Uh-huh. Prototypical size, speed, outside receiver, everything you want. Going back to Jerome Simpson, he is the profile of free agent that Rick Spielman likes. Coming off a rookie contract, ascending career. He had the best year of his career last year.
Yeah.
That's what Rick wants. He wants young players who are coming off their rookie deals and have something to prove.
Yep.
That's what you have in Jerome.
Defensively speaking, Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com. We have the Wobcast. We have a lot of draft things that you can look back on if you want. They do a lot of work daily at the Vikings Entertainment Network, whether it's writing, video, radio-type stuff, whatever. Vikings.com. Follow Mike Wabshaw's work. Defensively speaking, Josh Robinson, taken in the 3rd round, diminutive cornerback from Central Florida, but one of the, if not the fastest guys in the draft.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought him up first, because it's natural to want to talk about Harrison Smith first because we took him in the 1st round, but I think Josh is interesting because he is this elite speed guy, and a lot of times you associate an elite speed cornerback with being a small player, but Josh Robinson is 5'10", almost 200 pounds, so he's got some size to him. I think he can mix it up against the run. I think he'll come up and tackle, and poor tackling was an issue for the Vikings last year.
Yes.
I think Josh Robinson will improve that. Right now, I see him maybe being the number 4 corner Behind Antoine, Chris Cook.
And Chris Carr.
I put
Chris Carr in the starting lineup.
I would too. And so now you're going to be in nickel and you're going to be in dime quite a bit. So I think Josh Robinson will be on the field. And eventually he could be your number three corner. Maybe not this year, maybe this year. He could be a kick returner. I really like that. And he's going to make mistakes because he's a rookie corner. First of all, you're a corner, so you're on an island a lot.
Yep.
You're going to make mistakes. You're exposed. You're a rookie, so you're going to make even more.
Funny, really good quarterbacks and receivers in the division.
Yeah, exactly.
But
now, he's got closing speed and burst, all the things the scouts talk about, that mm-hmm. elite speed. That's mm-hmm. going to help him make up for some of those mistakes. So I think he's a guy that can contribute.
Notre Dame kids, Harrison Smith, safety, Robert Blanton, cornerback, safety. He'll play safety here. I do not believe he will start at the beginning of the season. Maybe he can win a job in training camp.
Yeah.
I think it's Mistrail Raymond's job to lose next to Harrison Smith. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Now, Blanton, I was talking to Kyle Rudolph, and he told me, because he played with Blanton at Notre Dame, he said, you know, the guy might not be the most explosive athlete. He might not be the fastest. He might not make the routine plays routinely as a rookie. But the one thing that Robert Blanton does is he comes up with big plays and big moments. And I went back and looked at some of his production, and Robert Blanton had quite a few tackles for loss and sacks. But the other thing I noticed is he had a blocked kick for a touchdown,
yep.
and he had a 47-yard interception return for a touchdown. I kind of like that splash play ability mm-hmm. that Robert Blanton might bring. And we've really been missing that from the safety position. So worst case scenario is Blanton's going to be a reserve safety for you this year, and he's going to be a great special teams player because he's a really good tackler and he's a smart player, takes good angles. That's yep. what Mike Prefer, our special teams coordinator, wants. Best yep. case scenario, you have the two Notre Dame kids playing safety.
What's next? Is it depth at linebacker?
Yeah.
We still got to investigate that safety thing. Defensive tackle, got a bunch of undrafted college free agents and everything. What do you think's next?
Yeah. Well, one area I look to is defensive tackle, and there's a kid named Brandon Thompson who I really wanted us to take in this draft. The yep. Bengals ended up taking him maybe in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked about him was you put him next to Kevin Williams and you have two legitimate defensive tackles. Now, I'm not saying that LaTroy Guyon can't be that guy. Maybe he can, but he hasn't shown us that he can be yet. The Vikings yep. miss that. They don't miss Pat Williams because Pat Williams can't do it anymore, but they miss what Pat Williams was for us in 2008 and 2009, a yeah. guy who can stand next to Kevin, eat up some blockers, and let our linebackers run free and make tackles. We miss that position.
Yeah, and they did bring in some people via college free agency like Travis Nielsen, Audie Cole,
yeah.
Guyton.
To
take some flyers, you know, see if you can fill some spots, linebacker-wise.
And you have to do that. And, you know, this kid from North Carolina State, his name is Audie Cole. He plays linebacker. Mm-hmm. He was recruited and played outside linebacker for yep. most of his career at North Carolina State.
Yep.
And he led the team in tackles in 09. Last year, he played in the middle because they didn't have a middle linebacker. They needed a smart kid to put that defense together, and he led the team in tackles at middle linebacker. I think he's good.
Great work.
Thanks, Paul.
Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. We thank Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator for the Vikings, for joining us earlier. Joe Nelson and Jay Nelson produced the show, and I'm Paul Allen. This has been Vikings Tonight, all throughout the Minnesota Vikings radio network.
Percy gets by the 50, and he is gone! He's hit and sacked by Jared Allen, who has three today!
And Christian fires left, caught Percy inside the 40, to the right, and he is gone! Straight drop, steps up in the pocket, fires to Jenkins, caught, touchdown! Excellent pass, Christian Ponder, excellent pass!
That's the pass, pumps to the left, 8 seconds left. He gets away from the pressure, fires to the end zone, it's caught! It's Greg Lewis, touchdown! Oh my heavens, Greg Lewis, welcome to Minnesota! Oh my heavens!
You can podcast Vikings Tonight at Purple On Demand on KFAN.com.